Hi, if this is the first time you're listening to the Advisors Assemble podcast, then I think you should listen to a different episode. Episode 194 is a really great introduction to lead generation for financial services. For everyone else, let's crack on. Hello and welcome back to the Advisors Assemble podcast, and we've got an amazing guest and I can't pronounce their name. I do like to do it live, so I'm going to try. I'm cheating with the first name, so I've got Jay and I'm not even going to try the am I doing a soft Jay if I'm doing it? Is it Yuki or
good try. It's Yuka.
Yeah.
It's Yuka.
Yuka. Yes. And then Vananen.
Vananen. The umlauts. Do it. So for Finns,
that didn't even louts doesn't even help me.
Yeah. With a normal A in Finnish, it would be R, and when you get the umlauts, it's an A.
Wow.
Bananen. Wow. Yeah.
I genuinely still feel like I still can't do it.
I thought it was a good attempt. But you can understand why growing up in England, everybody called me Jay.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's my partner's called Andrea, and it's like a Cypriot name, and people call her Andrea and all sorts of different things, and it winds her up so much. So I like to make sure I don't confirm it off air and then offend the guests when we're recording. First impressions count, I think. Cool. So just saying off air, I'm delighted to have you here because we've had Lewis Shaw on the podcast before, which I think he was a fairly early adopter of Newspage as a broker.
Absolutely, yes.
And I've seen him being featured in the press a lot, and I've seen, so I don't work with Lewis, but he did ask me a question the other day, or the other might have been before Christmas actually, about his website. And I've seen, just from a techie SEO side of things, I've seen some improvements on his domain off the back of being featured in the news.
Yeah.
But also that awareness and being able to put that on your website that featured in these magazines, etc., it kind of all helps with his proposition and being seen as, you know, someone trustworthy. So it sounds great, and I just really kind of want to understand how it works, and is this still something for, you know, other, are you still looking for other voices in the kind of, you know, financial advisors, mortgage brokers, etc., you know, other areas we have people listen that do equity release and bridging and things like that. So just wanted to cover off like what it is, who should be signing up and kind of why, and then just talking about maybe some of the success stories and things like that, if that's all right, Jay?
Yes, that sounds great.
Fantastic. Well, we've got Tessa with us as well, as always. Are you right, Tessa?
Hello, I am. I'm very excited about this particular interview, especially as a journalism background or graduate. So this is quite exciting, and that obviously crossed over into PR. So I'm excited to learn a little bit more about all of this.
Fantastic. Well, should we kick off, Jay, and kind of say, like, what is Newspage if you've not heard of it, and kind of what's the kind of the concept and why it's kind of set up?
Yeah, so we get businesses featured in the mainstream media. So Newspage connects small businesses, charities and people with the mainstream media. And we do it in the form of both reactions to breaking news. So we get those views out when news starts to break. And then also if you have press releases or you've got a story idea, you can upload that onto Newspage and then we get that out into the media for you. So we're a PR, public relations platform.
Nice.
So it's all quite instant by the sounds of it. You must be very hands-on once something is uploaded. You must be on watch constantly.
The mornings are hectic. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, it is just a mad dash to get things out, and it's not pretty what happens in the background, but I think we do a fairly good job. But it really is, as I said, the mornings in particular, they're busy.
Yeah. You go, Tessa.
No, I was just going to quickly say, do you all sort of have a debrief? Do you look at what sort of is top in the news and kind of list? Because I know there's hard news and soft news as well. I'm not sure how it all works at Newspage, but I'm just interested to see kind of how you work all of that and put it together.
Yeah, well, we're a bootstrapping startup, so I mean, it's pretty hectic. And we obviously follow all the coverage, or try to follow all the coverage that we get. In all honesty, I'm not trying to sound all brilliant and everything, but we generate so much, and it's happened so fast that we can't keep up with all of the coverage that we get, especially if it hits the news wires. We can talk about that a little bit later, but then we just can't keep up with all the coverage we get. But we do try to see most of it, and a vast majority of it happens. Well, mortgages are one, property, and then financial services. I mean, those are very busy news cycles, right? So there's always something happening there. So those are definitely, I would say, maybe, you know, off the top of my head, I think around 70% fall into that bracket, probably even as much as 80%.
Right. Wow. Cool. I've only kind of observed from the background, so I've not signed up myself or sort of had a look in too much detail, but I understand there's like a portal when sort of news comes up and you can put your quote in. But I've seen Dominic on social where it's like he'll sort of put it out there and tag a few people and say, look, this story's broke. Need your thoughts by the morning, or there's a deadline, get your thoughts on as well. But I presume everything is done, you sort of log into some sort of portal and you see the story there, is that right?
Yeah, so you log into News Page and there you will see news alerts that are relevant to your sector. Yeah, so when you sign up, you tag yourself. So for example, if you're an IFA, you would have IFA as one of your tags, right? So, and then if there's some kind of breaking news happening in that sector, then we send out what we call a news alert. So you get it into your email. And these are the ones that you'll see, Dom. We also post some of these on social, especially when there's a very tight deadline. And you receive the news alert into your email, you log into your account, and then you can add your comments into the news alert. And then what happens is the journalist will go into the news alert. It's a bespoke URL. They'll go into the news alert and they'll have a look, you know, depending on the amount of responses. They'll have a look. Oh, I like this quote. This one's good. Nah, I won't use this one. This one's good. This one's good. Good. And that's how it works. It's we've capped it now because, you know, sometimes people in the beginning write like War and Peace, right? Mm. And you know how normal article is, and it's also tough for us to edit. You know, we've got a limited amount of resources, so we've capped that now at 175 words, and people have learned very quickly to become more succinct for those ones.
Nice. So I suppose, is there kind of advice of what, because I imagine if I was an advisor and I've never sort of written something for the press before, is there kind of guidance on, other than that sort of cap, is there kind of like best practice or best, you know, examples of good things? I imagine if I sign up and I never get quoted, is there any, have you, I suppose you've got tips for people
we that, do
like being featured?
Yeah, we do. Terribly rude. They're done by Dom on Instagram. He has these reels.
Brilliant. Yeah. I love it. I love his. I don't know whether he's got a spreadsheet of the numbers, but or he picks out a random number. I'm equally impressed either way. But it'll be like news page tip number 1,342 or something. I forgot about that. Yeah, no, I do see those. And is he normally got a cigar and scotch or something?
Cigar and bourbon. He does them in the evenings. We have our social media manager has to approve them first, though.
What's the approval rate? Yeah,
I was just about to ask that.
Actually, it's quite high now. First, we instigated them. We said, "Dom, no, come on." it's 95%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're done in a great style, and you know they're funny. They're a little bit, as I said, a little bit sweary sometimes, but there's real quality in there regarding that. But in general, I mean, I'm a great believer in learning by doing, and the best thing is to sign up, read the other responses. We pin to the top, which if we read a response with it, this is a brilliant quote. You know, journalists will love that. We'll pin it to the top. And like anything in life, you know, you start writing, you don't need to be embarrassed. I mean, it's very much a community. That's what that is turned. People are very supportive. You'll see that on social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, my guidance would be, because I'm trying to run a business, is to sign up for the premium version. And then we edit them. Because as you said, you know, people don't necessarily have that experience of writing their thoughts and opinions down, right? And especially specifically for the media. Right, so it's a new thing, but they're experts in their own field, and our job is then, as similar to a journalist, to kind of get the essence and the right idea out of it, and quite frankly, that's what we're good at. So you know, you can read a comment which is written, you would say not written that well, but the idea is there. It's very easy to edit it into a good quote. And that's what we do. And you learn very quickly, right?
Yeah,
that's a fantastic concept, actually, because I know with news, it is written in a specific way to reach your specific target audience. Yeah. And there's numbers involved, isn't there? The amount of sentences that you can write depending on what platform. I mean, obviously online, everything's so different now, but if you was to write it, obviously, in something that was published, it'd be then different then. So that's really, really useful. Yeah, you're kind of taking out the middle man in a way. You're kind of there. Yeah, it's brilliant.
In a certain way, yeah. And as I understand, you've got a journalist background. You studied journalism. Yeah. And then, stories tend to be, your normal news stories tend to be quite formulaic in a certain way. You know, something's happened, get a few quotes from an expert, or get me 3-4 quotes from experts into the stories. You know, when you start reading these, you'll see that this is how most news stories are done, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I remember, and it's really tricky. There's an art to it, isn't there? Yeah. And trying to grab that reader in the first two sentences or whatever, it's very, very tricky. So I guess if you've not sort of studied that, for somebody that is sort of a mortgage broker doing their own job, they've got, you know, stuff they want to say, but can't get it down, you know, on the page or online, to have you there to help with that is a real asset.
Yeah, and a specific example of that, which I notice a lot of times in the quotes that people write, and when we edit, I'll find that, hang on, the last sentence should be the first sentence. That
happens. It's backwards.
So you just go in and you go, oh, come on, he ends it so brilliant. Boom, boom, you know, copy, paste, job done.
There we go. Yeah. And it takes time to get that. I remember I would write backwards all the time. It took me ages to get that correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you see somebody else's work, you can kind of jiggle it around and help them out a little bit.
Yes.
But yeah, really interesting.
I was just going to touch on, you mentioned the premium version, and I've just looked in to look at the pricing.
Yep.
And I think if anyone's looking at this, it's cheaper than LinkedIn Premium. So if someone's got LinkedIn Premium at the minute and you're using it to like DM spam people for more money, I'm just thinking the value of this seems like incredibly good. So have a look now, because you've got this free version.
Yeah.
But just by the sounds of it, your premium seems amazing, amazing value. And I love on the legend where it's like, and your knees up with the news page saying free cigars and bourbon.
Yeah, that's from Dom, obviously. That's users newspage users who use the platform a lot, and also promote us. You know, they'll give a they'll mention us if they got the coverage, which of course for us as a business is important that people see us. You know, if we do that consistently, then we'll up them to legend status. Yes.
Absolutely. I think it speaks volumes when, especially, I think we mentioned Lewis, like an early adopter, for him to be found this platform where he's like, I'm being featured in the news quite a lot. In the back of my head, I probably don't want to tell loads of other brokers because then I might miss out on some opportunities. But then him actually doing that and shouting you out I've seen him on social as well as when he talked on our podcast as well. So it must be good. And then there's some other people, I think it's Ian Hewitt that I've seen. Yep. I've seen quite a lot of people. And then someone really quick, I think I kept seeing Gary Boakes, it was.
Yep,
and then I kept seeing, and then I saw, I think you put a thing, you've only been on for like less than 2 weeks or something. It was like I think he got one quote and it just almost went viral in the news. And it was like one thing that got picked up by a lot of people. So I suppose that can happen quite quickly, can't it?
Yes, and we do try. When you are doing it for the first time, if we have the time, we will, for example, free user, we'll edit it if we have the time. Mm. And we do try to get new users coverage as well. And if I can just touch on one point, because you mentioned something really interesting when you said, you know, Lewis shares this stuff. And if you know about this kind of platform, you think, well, you know, I don't want my peers and my competitors to know about it. And this is kind of a favorite subject for me to discuss, if I can touch on it.
Yeah, go for it.
It's really, really important. We saw this happen with mortgage brokers, because that was kind of the biggest group or industry or area of users. So when we started in the beginning, we just had a few, and we'd ask them, you know, look, tell your friends about it. And they were like, oh, I don't know, because then they'll take space from me. But that is not what happens. The completely opposite thing happened. First of all, the people who use Newspage have jobs to do, right? So they're meeting with clients and so forth throughout the day. Journalists need, especially for breaking news, they need quotes now, right? So they come to us for those quotes. But we need a certain amount of volume to be able to guarantee that we can give them those quotes, right? That means we need a lot of volume. And I think this has worked out well in the mortgage broker space, in the sense that we have hundreds of them. And I don't think any of them who use it will tell you that they haven't had coverage. Because there are situations, there are days when they can't respond to a piece of breaking news, but there is always someone who can. And like I said, we try and even it out so that everybody has the opportunity to get coverage. So volume is really important. Actually having your peers there using it makes the platform work.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. Yeah, it's kind of, it feels counterintuitive maybe if you don't understand that process. But yeah, that makes, you know, there's going to be more opportunities because there's more users with the ability to be able to get those. And you guys become this reliable source of quick quotes because you've got a bigger user base. Yeah. And bearing in mind, there's like this free version.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where it just feels like a bit of a no-brainer. Why are we all not on there?
I would like to think so. Yeah. So, you know, to all your listeners, give it a whirl.
Yeah.
I totally could have done with this site, this news page when I was at university. Yeah. This would have helped me out no end. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Have you actually, Jay, noticed any new trends? Obviously, social media is huge, isn't it, to get news out there. Obviously, Insta Reels, we know, are massive. Is there anything that's becoming more popular that you're aware of? Do you think we're going into a new phase with social media? Is there anything we need to know about?
Very, very, very good question. I think if you look at new trends, then purely from my own perspective, I think Twitter is in a bit of a crisis. So you're seeing there's lots of talk about other platforms taking over. I don't think that's going to happen that soon. The big trend at the moment for content is ChatGPT, and you know, because that can generate articles and it can generate opinions to a certain level, and that people are talking about quite a lot, and AI in general, and I think it is definitely going to shake up the industry, financial services, for example. I absolutely think it's going to shake things up quite a bit, and that one's not going away.
Okay, wow. So watch this space.
I struggle with ChatGPT. I kind of feel like if you're not giving your version of the answer, then I think if people are going to, it's probably like we could do a whole episode on this, but I kind of feel like if you're going to use ChatGPT for all of your content, for me, people buy from people, and then the people that are going to put the effort in and put themselves out there are going to be the ones that are going to win even more than they are now. So I think it's a very cool tool. We've been using it to like check coding and technical stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not just for creating content. Very cool tool, but I think
you're absolutely right on that. It creates generic, basic text. There's no nuance. There's no flavor. There's no personality in there. And personality should always come through in content. Mm. I think a lot of firms will see it as a way of saving money. So if I was a traditional investment writer in a big corporate, I'd be quite worried. You know, your general monthly reports and so forth. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It produces. If everyone's using the same thing, you're getting the same kind of flat, no tone content. And you're absolutely right. What are people going to read? They're going to read the ones with personality and a little bit of opinion. Because, you know, oftentimes I've heard this saying that, you know, information is the most valuable commodity. I think that's rubbish. I think attention is the most valuable commodity at the moment, right? We're constantly competing for people's attention, right? This podcast is competing for people's attention. We're asking people to download it, listen to it, choose this over something else. Yeah. And so when it comes to content, it has to get better. It has to be good for people to pay attention. And that means personality. It means nuance. It means fresh ideas, unique ideas, these kind of things. And this AI can't produce at the moment. I can't say if it will be able to do so in the future, but at the moment, no way.
I think it might be able to do things like quirky. I've seen people say, oh, can you make this a bit more quirky and stuff? And that, I think that's fine, but it's like, when you should market. Like, so what I love about news page of the, so just when we were talking about the cigars and bourbon, that was like, if then I do go to the annual knees up, Dom will be there with a cigar and bourbon, because you're marketing is transparent marketing. Whereas if you rely on an AI to say something kooky on my thing that's funny about, you know, getting people to come to my event, and then my event is not like that, then you've just made someone's expectations really high, and it's a damp squib. You know, it's like inviting someone to fireworks in my garden, and then I've bought the $4.99 version of the fireworks, and it's just like this awful. You know, the expectations are really high, and it's low. It does it. You're eventually, it's not going to work. So you may get something out of it immediately. Then if you're not like this transparent window, I always feel like your marketing should be like a window, transparent. Yeah. It's just not gonna benefit you, even if there's some sort of some metrics or something that make it look good in the beginning. Just I think long term, it's just not gonna be great if you completely rely on it, is my opinion. Mm. Which yeah, I just feel like it's good. I think it's good for like giving you ideas. So like maybe like, oh, if you're struggling with the headline, I think some people have put it in as like, oh, this is the headline I've got. Have you got any variations on it to make it better? And then you might choose one that feels better. So I still feel there's going to be a human element in there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Jay, do you have any tips on sort of writing a good headline? Because that is tricky. I know we were talking about sort of quotes and all of that, but in terms of headlines, yeah, do you have any tips?
Very simple. Trigger an emotion. If you can trigger an emotion, you can always get attention. That's one of the things. Things that work, sadly, in my opinion, well, and you should do them every now and then. It's the how tos, the whys, and the dreaded listicles. But if you do these, then please make sure that you deliver in the content. Yeah. So you're delivering the content, what you promise in the headline. I think that's absolutely important. But if we ignore the standard headlines, then try and trigger some kind of emotion. Have a very strong emotive word in the beginning. Short headlines work well, which makes them hard to do.
Yeah, I always remember.
Yeah,
you go, Jay.
But don't overthink it. I think people get really. It's super important. Yes. But, you know, don't let it stop you from publishing your opinion, right? Because you can't come up with a good headline, please, you know?
Yeah.
And then my top tip is get a pro to edit it, right? Writing is always a process, yeah? I worked for 8 years as an editor and an investment writer, and every writing has a process, and that is your draft, then it's your edit, then it's your proofread. If it's financial services, probably compliance and legal on top of that. But you know, every writer knows this, yeah? And people get too hung up on they start writing, and then they start editing while they're writing, and then it becomes a horrible, horrible chore because every sentence is such a massive struggle, right? So get your draft down, put it away, then come back to it and edit it. Or even better, if you can get a pro to edit it, get a pro to edit it. When I was working as a freelance writer, I had an editor. I paid for an editor. It's why my content was so good, right? Even when I was happy with the article, I'd take it to my editor.
Right.
They came back with it. And often it was, you know, it might be very, very subtle little changes that happen there. But they can make or break the article. So it's always good to have someone else have a look at it, if that's possible. And now we're talking about stories, when you're writing a full article. When it's a quote, you know, that's quick, that's 100 words, something like that, a couple of sentences, no problem. But if you're writing an article, then you know, invest the time in it and the effort.
Yeah, you know, that really great tips there. You know, I guess another pair of eyes always helps, doesn't it? Especially when you've been staring at a page or your computer or whatever for goodness knows how long. But I always remember I was taught it's the who, what, where, when, how. If you can get all of that in.
Good tip.
But obviously you've got to do it in a creative way. That makes for a good story.
Yeah, and now that you mentioned stories, I think the who, what, where, when, how is absolutely brilliant. That works really well. Keep those in mind. And then always, there was this whole trend in the financial services, like going back about 8 years, and it's still around, you know, people take storytelling, you know, you have to do this storytelling thing, you know, this is a big thing. And I would always ask in meetings, so tell me, what is a story? And none of these bosses could ever answer it, right? And this is, I can't remember where I read this once, but this fits for any story, right? A story has to have four things: scene, where it happens, characters, who it's happening to or who are doing the action. It has to have a conflict or a problem, and then it has to have a resolution, yeah? And this happens everywhere in life, in the financial markets. You know, the markets go up. All right, the scene is the markets, right? Who made it go up? Investors, traders, whatever. Those are the characters. This isn't an exciting story, but it's nonetheless a story, right? So the markets went down. That's your problem. Well, what's the resolution? Well, something happened, and then they went up again, right? Terrible story, but it's a story. It fills those criteria. And if you look at any story, you will see those things are filled there.
So actually quite a simple sort of, I want to say equation, it's not an equation, but a simple pattern to follow.
I think so, especially if you're not writing a lot, this helps you to think it through. Because I hate it when people are saying, you know, every story has a beginning, middle and an end. What the heck do I do with that? What do I do with that?
Right? So true.
Give them what you gave them, who, what, where, when, how. Structure of the story, 1, 2, 3, 4. At least that's something you can, that helps you get on your way and get you started. Give me beginning, middle and an end. Get the heck out.
I love that.
I'm really into, like, my thing in January was to learn more about storytelling.
Oh, yes.
And then, so a couple of things I wanted to bring up. We talked about headlines earlier, so I'm sort of backpedaling a little bit. I sort of, like, avoid being, like, too clickbaity. So I don't know if people sort of start to roll their eyes a little bit sometimes. So it felt like quite difficult. You sort of said trigger an emotion, but I see a lot of stuff. They're trying that, but it feels clickbaity, and I find myself rolling my eyes without thinking about it. So I don't know if there's, I just don't know how you not be clickbaity but also trigger an emotion. Is there a process or advice for that?
Be honest. I mean, that's the thing. As I said, the content, what you say in the headline has to be delivered. It feels clickbaity when they haven't, when you fit it, you say, when you read the article, you read the article and it doesn't give you what it gave, what you promised in the headline, you've broken a promise. Yeah. And and then you leave feeling, oh, that was clickbait. And next time you see a headline like that, you're going to think this is rubbish because you've just been conned and nobody likes being conned. And that second article that you actually missed because of that, those types of headlines might have actually been really good.
Yeah, do you know what I've found? I've literally just remembered in my mind where someone's said a really exciting thing. It's like, no, that was, you know, you've actually just told me nothing. You've wasted my life. And I'm probably actually more rolling my eyes at that. The other thing I want to talk about is like analogies. I think I tried to use a really rubbish one earlier with the firework in the garden thing because I'm in the habit of doing it. Is that like a good thing? Is it easy to try and shoehorn thing and actually make it worse to people? So I've seen some quotes from the newspaper stuff and it's a really great analogy and it was really funny. I can't remember specifically. But is that something that kind of works?
Yes, when it's good. Well, absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, when you write something, you want to create a picture in the person's mind. And this relates to emotions. When I say trigger an emotion, I don't mean that you go crazy or something. But if it speaks to our emotion, we pay attention, and analogies are great ways of drawing a picture in a person's mind. They see the analogy in their head, and and they're great hooks to remember your main point. Right, you make a point, then you use an analogy. Now you've actually put it. They will remember it after they've read the article.
And it's sometimes it's quite a relatable. If you make it something relatable that we've all done that. Everyone's kind of experienced, and they can maybe understand it sometimes a little bit more because they're comparing it with the thing that you've made.
I'm so glad you used that word because you just gave one of the best writing tips: is make it relatable. Yeah, anything relatable is something that you read, right? Because a person, when you're reading, right, it's probably the most egotistical kind of act. It's just you, right? No one else. Yeah, it's you and that text. So it's all about me. When you're reading, be it a thriller or a news article, that is your head and that piece of content. Yeah. So if it's relatable, then it is about you personally, and you will pay attention. Will read. I didn't mean me. Maybe that sounds a little bit cynical. I didn't mean it. I mean, reading is it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, right? And of course, we're interested in our own experiences, and if somebody has shared that experience, and you know, when it's relatable, it's kind of sharing that same experience. You don't feel so alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm still just trying to find the timestamp of where you said that I came up with the best tip ever, and I'm on with two journalists, and I'm not. I've got no experience, so I'm just noting that down. Editor, can we just make sure we clip that so I can keep it forever and that print it on my wall? Brilliant. Yeah.
You always say that though, Alex, don't you? Kind of with podcasts, with audio, people relate to us when we're talking about food or something sort of silly. Yes. Everybody likes that, don't they? And I guess it's the same in writing to some extent.
I think so. Like literally, well, my most popular content on LinkedIn, the thing that people, so me and Ash used to do this thing called Talking Nonsense. So people know us as like marketers in the industry, but they want to hear us talk about Star Wars and nonsense because they like that rather than, like people, they talk more about that than they do this podcast, and this podcast is designed to help them, if that makes sense. I think people jump on the relatable stuff that's not necessarily to do with work more, or they react to it anyway.
But I think you can definitely put relatable stuff into a story. Yeah, it's a great tactic to make a good, you know, well, you had a recent podcast with, I think it was Sophie, who talked about personal stories. Yes. I mean, what are those not, if not relatable? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are always personal. We did a feature with Wes Wilkes. We helped a little bit with some of the editing and some of the points. He wrote a brilliant personal story, which was featured in the FT Advisor. And that's a story about him. And that completely relates to his business and to financial services. Yeah. But it's 100% relatable because it was about his career trajectory and how RDR affected his career and how he then built a business out of that. 100% relatable and all about the business and the sector.
Nice.
It's an art. Communication at its finest, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a core. I think communication is like one of the core skills for any business in terms of if you want to sell anything, you need to be able to communicate, whether it's in on a podcast or in writing or on a video or an email or something. It's just really vital kind of skill. I suppose the more you practice, I think, like you said earlier, like if you join NewsPage on this free version and you just practice, not get too disheartened, not being featured straight away, that you, I think you said earlier, like learn by doing. And I imagine then just seeing, like if you're putting a quote in and then just seeing the ones that do get chosen and just sort of learning from that. And it comes in time. I imagine that's the same if you want it. So if I feel like you mentioned that guy with a personal story, and I imagine, did they pitch that? So I imagine you'll sort of learn what journalists want to, the stories that they want to get, that you've got, if that kind of makes sense.
I mean, we have so many people using it. Let me put it another way. Everyone has a story, not just one, but many, right? So everyone has an interesting story. People think, oh, I don't have anything interesting to say. Well, you have lots and lots and lots of interesting things to say. It's about finding them. And there you might need some help in discussing with a journalist or someone who knows how to kind of pull it out of you. If somebody uploads a personal story onto NewsPage and we read it and we think, okay, this one's got legs, this one's a goer, then we will pitch it to relevant publications who we think might be interested in running it.
Nice. I think that's the scariest thing not scary, but the kind of the thing that I would struggle with the most is like pitching the stories. I think maybe the quote thing, I think we all know our stuff. And I think especially with the thing that happened recently with the money box guy saying you shouldn't use a broker above a cabbie or something, I imagine that's very easy to react to and give your thoughts to. I think I would struggle with the pitching. So if I feel like, oh, okay, maybe I want to do it like a personal story, do I need to think what's in it for the journalist? I imagine because it can't just be, yes, it's the story about me, but it can't be all about me. There's got to be something in it for them. Or how do they decide what's sort of worthwhile? Does it depend?
If you've never written for publications before, then don't think about what they want, is my advice, because you probably won't know, right? And you're going to get a headache and you really don't. It's all speculation. Mm-hmm. What do we tell people about finances? Talk to an expert, you know, they'll help you out.
Yeah.
But if you want to write it first, get it written down, you know, the number one thing is people have these ideas, and then they think, oh, I'll write it down when I'm suitably inspired, and that moment never comes. And I think that's the difference between professional writers, you know, journalists and professional writers, is that they have to produce copy. That's what they're paid to do. Yeah. And people often find, and then they don't, you know, they have the idea and then they forget about it. Write it down. It doesn't matter how, you know, there's a reason that in the business we call the first draft the vomit draft, right? Just get it down on the paper. get it down, and then you can edit it. Yeah. Or get someone to tell you if it's rubbish or not. I mean, we're brutally honest about these kind of things. We have a news score. We score them on a scale of one to 10, the stories for premium users, or then you can pay, I think it was $4.99 for us to score it. And we're brutally honest. We'll tell you if it's rubbish or not. But in all honesty, most of the time it's not, right? The copy might not be good, but the story will most likely be in there, and we can see it. And any journalist will see it.
Yeah. So it's finding an angle, isn't it? I know it's all about angle as well. And it's just finding, like you say, that hook, that angle. Do you find as well, because I always think, you know, if you're writing something, it's almost your baby, you're in control of it. But actually, like you've said, it actually does take a team to create a piece. You need your proofwriter or your copywriter or whatever, which some people might find difficult when they've written it, it's their name's on it. But, you know, you have to kind of let go.
Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head. So I mentioned before that I was an investment writer and an editor. So that was basically, that job is a ghostwriter. So I worked for an asset manager, and the stuff we put out was done in the name of portfolio managers and CEO and different stakeholders in the business. So the text would come to us writers, and then, you know, we'd edit it, or then we'd write it from the beginning, and then they'd give their input and so forth. So I discovered there's three types of people, right? So they're those who are really good at writing, and for those, as an editor, it was simple. You know, it was more of proofreading and just a meeting of minds and having a look. Maybe this might be different here. And they were very, very simple to work with. Then there were those who were terrible at writing, and I'm in no way disparaging them, because that gave a person like me a job, right? Paid for my mortgage and so forth. Yes. Absolutely, I do not mind seeing bad copy. I do not find it funny or amusing or make fun of anyone. That gave a guy like me a job, right? So they were very easy to work with, because they were grateful, because you'd find the story from there and write it up, and they'd be like, oh, this is brilliant, right? Because most of them were very smart and very good at their job. They just weren't able to write about it. Then in the middle, you had those who thought they were really good writers and were terrible writers, and they were by far the worst, right? Because it's exactly as you said, it's their baby and they think it's wonderful, and you're the one who has to burst their bubble and you know, be a diplomat without getting them offended and you know their weak egos and so forth, and that's very, very hard. So I think when you write something, you know, be willing to listen to feedback, but always try and get that feedback from someone who knows, because everyone's got an opinion. Right? Everyone's got an opinion, and there is a certain style, and there's certain ways of doing it. There is structure and there is technique to writing. Many people think it's just creativity. Yes, it is creativity, but I mean, football's creative, right? But you still have a field and you have goals and you have rules and so forth. Mm-hmm. Writing is no different there, right? So when you talk to someone who knows what they're doing, an editor or a journalist or writer, I don't think they will laugh at you. I don't think they will be disparaging. They will give you good feedback that will make the story better.
Yeah. My next point was about opinion, because we've all got an opinion, isn't there? But like you say, there needs to be some structure to it. Otherwise, you know, so that makes complete sense there. This is so interesting. I feel we could go on and on.
I kind of feel like, how do we extend?
Do we end this? Extend it.
About this stuff forever. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I would 100% be, well, I mean, there's an open invitation to when there are sort of changes to the platform or anything that you guys want to talk to us about, because Tessa and I can tell, have very much enjoyed chatting this through. And like I said, my January is all about, I want to become a better storyteller. And I think it's like an absolute, I'm like, selfishly, I'm thinking this is an absolute bargain to get my content sort of proofread and scored for, like, was it $49.99 a month? I feel like I'm cheating you, if I'm honest. And then just understanding that, and then if anything got published, it feels like, to be honest, an absolute bonus. I feel like I'd be learning loads from using this platform?
I'd obviously like to think so, because you know I work there, but you know, you can get help from us for editing. If you're looking for ideas, you can book a news chat with a journalist who will talk with you in 20 minutes. They'll find ideas for you. Oh, yeah. So, and as for value for money, yeah, because the other option then is to go with a PR agency, but you know those will cost you thousands a month, right?
Mm. So
I think it is about, absolutely. I don't know any other PR platforms out there. I think we're the only one. Obviously, somebody's going to come on LinkedIn and say, "Oh, but there's us." And fair enough. But I honestly don't know anyone who's doing what we're doing.
I've not seen it. The only thing I've seen is like a couple of Facebook groups where people, but it seemed like someone was trying to sell a course out the back of it. And just there's a Twitter hashtag of like help a reporter out or something. But again, it doesn't feel like anywhere near the same kind of level.
No.
So no, I've worked with, back in the day when I was contracting with firms, and I was, in fact, Tom and our team, he originally hired me as a contractor in this big financial services firm, and they were spending an absolute fortune on PR, like thousands on this agency. And I swear they were getting less coverage than what you guys got, like Lewis and other people we've seen.
I'm absolutely sure of that. But it does speak to how what you mentioned earlier about how key communication is. Right? I mean, why do these big firms spend such a massive amount on communication? Because it is your reputation, your credibility, the fact that people know you're there happens through communication. It is without doubt one of the most important things. And I think especially small businesses miss out on this, which is a shame, because the thing is, small businesses in particular have great, you know, and smaller firms have great ideas. It doesn't go through a massive amount of approvals before it goes out. Mm. And big firms are very neutral. So one of the reasons that we've been so successful, it's not just that the platform is great. I think the platform is great. But it's the quality of the content, because people have strong and clear opinions. Now, you take an IFA, for example, they meet real people, right? Okay, so they have to day in, day out, discuss with people who don't know or understand the finance world and explain it to them in a way they understand, right? So they are great communicators in their work. This can all be just through practice and a little, you know, bunging out a few quotes there, trying personal stories and these kind of things. That skill will come through in the content of being able to communicate complex issues in a simple manner. And those make for great quotes, and they make for great copy. And journalists and the media, as you know, the media is kind of struggling with social media and losing readers and eyeballs. They put out great quotes, people will read those, right? And they'd rather read an exciting quote and a cool quote with a great analogy than something from an economist in some ivory tower in a big city firm who starts off by saying, on the one hand, we think blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, blah, blah, blah. Right?
That is true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That was my big speech to end with.
No, love it. Absolutely love it. Love it. Ajay, it's been fantastic. I've really enjoyed myself.
Thanks,
it's a topic that I'm like, PR and things like that, it's just not my skill set at all. But I'm very interested in it. And like I said, we have invited you on because we've seen people get results from this. And you know, I've only genuinely ever heard positive things about it. So I wouldn't hesitate sort of speaking to our clients about it, to, you know, obviously our listeners about it as well. And it just feels really great for the industry as well. It feels like you're on, I think as well, we haven't got time, but I think there was there a lender or something sort of saying, I can't remember. It was a big firm saying, don't use Newspage
because
and it was like
to have a nice chat with him.
It was a conference
but you know, we had given a voice to brokers and they had given some criticism towards lenders, but they were completely justified, well put out points, and of course they didn't like it. Nobody likes to be criticized. So what did they say? It's clickbait and it's all tabloid stuff. Under 10% of our content goes into tabloids. Right. If we look at the publishing, but having said that, people with mortgages, people with investments, they read the tabloids as well, and they have the right to that kind of news. So I thought it was really, really disparaging and unfair. Yeah. But it just shows that we've been able to give a voice to a certain area that hasn't had a voice before. And, you know, they were speaking to power, and power didn't like being criticized. They don't, ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we were doing good work there. And certainly the brokers who were providing that comment. And having said that, there's been plenty of good news that we've put out about lenders as well. We get brokers to say, look, this lender's doing this, and this is really good for reasons X, Y, and Z. And out it goes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. No, I'm sort of like full support of everything that's been going on. So I think on behalf of the industry, if we're allowed to, if we could be so bold to say, appreciate obviously Dominic setting it up and you getting involved and pushing it on, because it feels way more accessible. I imagine when people like Lewis and the others set up their business, thinking being the opportunity to get in the mainstream media, they would have probably thought impossible, and now it is not. So it's a great thing.
It's kind of just quickly the true meaning of journalism, isn't it? It's giving somebody a voice that hasn't got a voice.
Absolutely. And, you know, if any of your listeners want to ask any questions, they can, or you can find me on LinkedIn, or you can message Dom or myself, and I'm always happy to give my opinion on PR. So, you know, don't be shy. And
absolutely. And then it's newspage.co.uk as well, where we can kind of sign up and create.
It takes a minute to sign up. We don't do anything with your information, like pass it on to, you know, it's 100%, it's that platform, and it's you know, it does what it says on the tin. So you can absolutely give it a whirl.
We will put links, because I'm not even going to try and spell your name for LinkedIn, because I will get it wrong. So I'm going to put a link to your LinkedIn in the show notes. But a lot of your stuff is quite widespread now as well. There's a lot of comments and things like that. So probably people have already seen you on LinkedIn, I imagine, but we'll put that link.
Okay. For them.
My man, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.